We're very thankful this morning to be in the house of God. Amen. God has been good to us. God is good all of the time. God is good, isn't he? And all of the time, God is a good God. He's good. Amen. I'm glad to be alive today. How about you all? Amen. Yeah, just getting back in from Mississippi. Wonderful time in Mississippi. Had a great time. Many restorations through the gospel effort. And certainly we are thankful for your prayers as we travel. Good to have my wife back in the audience today. Good to have her with us today. Amen. Oh, Spirit, where you are. I just had a microphone come on or something, didn't I? All right. So you're visiting with us. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. You're honored guest of the audience. We thank you for being with us. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Jesus died, shed his blood to purchase that church. And one must believe that with all of his or her heart. Repent of their sin, confess him to be the Son of God, and be baptized to be saved. That's how you become a member of the church in the Bible. And they sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. I do apologize for us not having that song up on the drop screen, because singing is a command. And so we got to get that together. We don't want anyone neglecting singing or being hindered by our efforts here, technically. So if it's a technical issue, we need to get it fixed. Amen? Amen. 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 Wow. So I'm going to see to it that we tighten that up. Amen. Worship is as important as singing, as communion. Amen. Amen. As preaching. Amen. As giving. All acts of worship are important. Amen. And so we're thankful to have everyone here. You're experiencing New Testament pattern of worship. Now, this afternoon service, I'm launching a series called PTSD, which deals with the trauma people go through in their lives, such as rape and molestation and heartbreaks where relationships are torn up. And it's a series I launched in Mississippi, which brought many souls back to the Lord, dealt with many families that were torn apart, long confessions. People who are holding things in all their life, traumatized. That'll be this afternoon. This morning, John chapter 14. Continuing our study of the book of John. If you loved me, if you love me, is the title of the lesson. Chapter 14, verse 12. Let's pick up verse 12, get our thought back to from where we were at last week. Thank you, Brother Stroud, for filling in for me. As I was out, and appreciate all those who have been praying for us. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you,
he that believeth on me,
the works that I do shall he do also. This is Jesus speaking. Then he said, greater works
than these shall he
do.
Because I go unto my Father.
And
whatsoever you shall ask in my name,
that will I do.
That the Father may be glorified in the Son.
And if ye shall ask anything in my name,
I will do it.
I will do it. So Jesus saying, listen, and it's the same thing John said, is if we ask anything according to his will, God answer prayers according to the will. Everything we ask for, we don't need. Amen. God give us what we need, and he answers according to his will. And that's what Jesus said. It applied to the apostles and applies to us. And then he said greater works, as I talked about in the last say. Yeah, see, the greater work would come after the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus had to die on the cross, and then the preaching of the gospel could not be preached until Jesus hung on the cross. It's called the greater work is called the preaching of the gospel, or the preaching of the cross. If you leave the cross out, there's no gospel. The gospel has power when you put the cross in it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses number 17, and I'll show you what I'm saying there. So there was no, the greater work came after you could preach the good news. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says what?
For Christ sent me not to baptize.
Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Just like today, if somebody get baptized, I don't have to do it. That's what he was saying. He wasn't saying baptism wasn't essential, but somebody else can baptize. I'm preaching the gospel. Read.
But to preach the gospel.
He said, but the Paul said, he sent me to preach the gospel, which I do here. I preach the gospel. Man, I, very seldom do I baptize somebody, but I will baptize somebody. But the baptism can be done by anyone. Listen to what he says now.
Not with wisdom of not, words.
He said, now Paul said, well, I preach the gospel. I'm not doing it with wisdom of words. Read.
Lest the cross of Christ
now,
should be
notice
made
notice he said, if
effect.
I get fancy, and that's what's wrong with some of these preachers today. They're so fancy. They want to preach Hebrew and Greek and get y'all all fancy. Ain't saving nobody. Because wisdom of words doesn't mean anything. What means something, you all, is the preaching of the cross. Listen to what he says now. For the preaching
of
the
cross is to them
see that,
that
the
perish.
Preaching of the cross is to them that perish
foolishness
and unto us that
which
are saved. That's the Christian. See, you,
power of
that's
God.
Why we as a congregation must be cross-eyed Christians. I've talked about that. This congregation should be known as a cross-eyed Christian. You got a cross preacher. Amen. God, I preach the cross every Sunday. And the reason we preach the cross is because the cross is what keeps us saved. If you can see your Savior on the cross, if you keep your eye on the cross, you don't have to worry about the people in the audience. You keep your eye on the cross, you won't leave the Lord. Amen. You got to preach the cross. And that's what we need in the brotherhood. More brothers get away from this fancy stuff and get back to preaching the cross and people be saved. Amen. So we're doing some greater work. The preaching of the cross is a greater work because that's where Jesus came, that the souls might be saved. And then when he got up in Matthew chapter 6:11, chapter 28 and verse 18, he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. So everything we do today is done by the authority or by his name, in his name, or by his authority. He has all authority or all power because he died on the cross. And when he got up, he said, I got all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy. So it's in his name or by his authority can we preach the cross. Okay, now, so that's a greater work. The apostle would be doing a greater work than what Jesus did because they would have the gospel message. Amen. And he was preparing them to preach this gospel message. And they did on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached. He said, men and brothers, you crucified Jesus, basically. They said, men and brothers, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. It was 3,000 souls saved that day because the greater work had started. Now, let's go back to verse 15 of John. John 14, 15, he said, now, if you love me,
keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. Now, if you love me, he's talking to the apostle. He said, if you love me, you don't be troubled that I'm leaving. Don't show it. Your love should be you keep my commandments. Don't be the love for God, Jesus said, I know you love me when you keep my commandments. This is the only proper evidence of a love to Jesus. How many of you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, guess what you're going to be doing? Now, how many of you love the Lord? So I ain't breaking no commands. Oh, boy, it got quiet all of a sudden. How many of you love the Lord? How much do you love him? See, the determination of how much you love is by how many commands you keep. So he said, do you love the Lord? Yes or no? How much? Command breaking is indicative of I don't have enough love. When I love the Lord, I keep his commands. And can anybody absolutely keep all of them? Yeah, one of the commands is confess your fault. You can't do that? That's love. If you can't confess your fault, then you say it's not that you're not going to sin, but will you do what he said do to get it right? It's all part of it. That's all he's saying. He said, if you love me, you'll do what I ask you to do. So all of us should be growing to love. The more you love, the less you sin. Let's say it together. The more you love, the less you sin. Yeah. Or will you be sinless or sinless? You should sin less. Amen. The more you grow in love, the less you should be sinning. And when you sin, you keep the command to confess or ask for forgiveness. He said, if you confess your sin, I'm just to forgive. That makes sense? Sure it does.
But we run out there talking about we love the Lord and breaking every command. Now, unfaithful to him, unfaithful to worship, unfaithful to giving, unfaithful to singing, unfaithful to evening service, unfaithful, unfaithful to Bible class, unfaithful. And then we say, I love him. But Jesus said, now look here, here's how I know when you keep my commandments. Yeah, it's okay to say it. It's how you grow. Do we need to work on that? All right, then. That's all you said. What are you working? What do you work on if you want to get close to the Lord? You learn to love him more. You grow to love him. And the way you grow up, you got to see him on the cross. What he gave his life for you. How he suffered for you. That's how you fall in love with the Lord. Not by how much money you can get when you become a member. The church is not for that. Sure, we assist people. But the church, Jesus died to save souls. Not to save your apartment rent. Amen, somebody. See, people got the wrong concept of the church sometimes. Amen. Yes, sir. Wrong concept. The church is a saving institution. Save soul. Now, will we assist? Will we relieve? Yeah, we help. We do good to all men. But especially of the household of faith. So we're going to help people. That's not the issue. But when a person's view of the church is that's what it's for, that's the wrong view. The church is to save souls. It's a love institution. God loved us and gave his son. His son, greater love, had no man in this that he would lay down his life for his friend. He showed his love on the cross. So the title of this sermon is entitled, If You Love Me. So, throughout this text, he's going to repeat the word love, love, love. That's why I entitled it. And now, let's go back to verse 16. He said, and I will pray to the Father.
And he shall give you another comforter.
He said, I'm going to give. Jesus had been there with them about 3 years now. This is the last 3 years of his life he spent with his disciples or his apostles. And then he says now, I'm going to pray and he's going to give you a comforter and he will abide with you forever. Who is this comforter that he's talking about? In verse number 17, he said, even
the spirit of truth,
whom the world cannot receive. Notice this, because
it seeth him not.
It seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him.
For he will dwell in you.
And shall be in you. Future tense, shall be in you. So he's saying the spirit of truth, so-called the spirit of truth, because the Holy Spirit is one that will guide them into all truth. He speaks truth. He is the witness of truth. He is truth. And the world cannot receive him until they obey Jesus. But if they don't love him, they're not going to obey him. Amen. Now, in Acts 5:32. God gives the Holy Spirit to one group of people. Listen to this now in Acts 5 and verse 32.
And we are his witnesses of these things. Mm-hmm. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God had given to them that obey him.
That what?
Obey him.
The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey the Lord. Now, how we know we obey the Lord? If we love him, we're going to do what? Keep his commandments. So when people keep his commandments, they're going to be obedient to the Lord. Now listen to him. Now verse number 18. I will not leave you comfortless. Jesus said, I'm going to leave. But remember, this all started in chapter 14, verse 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Now he's still dealing with that. He said, I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come back. I'm coming to you. Verse number 19, he said, yet a little while. And the world
seeth me no more.
You know, Jesus said, I'm getting ready to die. And this is the next day. The next day he will be dead. Next day he will die on the cross. He will be murdered. He will be crucified, executed on the cross. And he said, I'm with you a little while. I'm going to die. But then he says this, the world see me no more. This is the last time. But you see me because I live.
Ye shall live also.
You shall live also. Now, anyone who obeys the Lord can have eternal life. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What is he? He the way to eternal life. He's the truth to have eternal life. And he says this, I am life. And so anyone who don't have the Lord in their life do not have life. Amen. Jesus said in John 6:53, except man eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, he have no life in him. That's the problem when people do not commune every week like they're supposed to. Amen. The Lord's Supper is the drinking of the blood that keeps the life flow in us, and that's why communion is commanded. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. And then you got those churches out there who do it once a month or once every other month or something like that. The White Glove Sunday, they call it, or whatever they do. But here's the thing about it. The disciples in the Bible in Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. The disciples, the Christians in the New Testament, broke that bread on the first day of the week. Why the first day of the week? That was the day of resurrection. Jesus got up on, and that became the Memorial Day. That became the new day. The new name was Christian. The new day was Sunday. The new church was the Church of Christ. There was no Church of Christ in the Old Testament. It was purchased by the blood of Jesus. And that same blood you get washed in baptism, that same blood you drink. And if you don't drink that blood, you have no life in you. Amen. That's pretty simple. It's real simple. The way we stay in communion, the way we stay in fellowship, is through the drinking of the blood. Amen. Let's go back to verse number 20. He said, now, and that day,
ye shall know that I am shall my know Father.
That day, you shall know. That day, he's telling the disciples. And that day, what day is he talking about? What day is he talking about? Get Acts chapter 1 and the verses number 1. Acts 1:1. And listen, look at that. The day and the times of his disciples, he's saying to them, that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and yet in me and I in you. Listen to the Bible in Acts chapter 1 and the verses number 1. Say, O Theophilus, see that? This is Luke writing.
The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus.
O Theophilus, read.
Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach.
Read on.
Until the day in which he was taken up.
Now, that's the day. The day when he was taken up. Watch this.
After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen.
Okay, read.
To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs.
Yeah.
Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining
to
the kingdom of God.
So, after his resurrection, he appeared only to his apostles, only to the disciples. And when he appeared to them, he taught them about the kingdom. What's the kingdom? The kingdom is the Church of Christ. That's why he said in Mark 9, verse 1. Get Mark 9 and the verses number 1. See, he had to teach them about the kingdom. There was no Church of Christ before he died. There were no Christians before he died. So he taught them things pertaining to the kingdom. Listen to the book now. Listen to the book.
And he said unto them.
And he said unto them.
Verily I say unto you.
He said, verily I say unto you.
That there be some of them that stand here.
Who stand here.
Who shall not taste of death.
Who shall not taste of death until
they have seen the kingdom
you see
of God
the kingdom
come with power.
Coming with power. See what he said. That those men would be alive when the kingdom come. That's why when he said in his prayer, he said, that kingdom come. That's not a relevant prayer today. Because the kingdom has come. The kingdom is the church of Christ. In Matthew chapter 16 and the verses number 18. Jesus said this to Peter when he asked him who they say he was. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, unto thee I shall give you the keys of the kingdom. Anytime you get there, it'll be fine with me.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of
I'm
heaven.
I'm kind of trying to wait on him, but he just come out of gospel meeting. You know I'm rolling, don't you?
And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
You're going to be all right, ain't you? Now, the kingdom, go back to verse 17. But 19, say, upon this rock, he'll build, Jesus said, I'll build my church in the gates of hell. Meaning the grave did not stop him from being resurrected. The Hadean world, where he was saying, he would get up from the grave. We're going to show you that in a minute. God loosed him. Listen to this, though. Don't miss the point. He going to give Peter the keys to the
key. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter.
Uh-huh.
And upon this rock I will build my church.
Yeah.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Read verse, next verse.
And I will give unto thee the keys
of the kingdom of heaven.
Peter would have the keys, and he would use the keys in Acts 2. The key would be the gospel. He would be the one who would open the door to the church of Christ. Amen. He would have the key that would let people in Acts 2. And the verse number 36, he said, when Peter preached his first sermon, he said, they said to him, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God had made that same Jesus who you killed, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this,
they were pricked in their hearts.
When they heard that the crucifixion, they heard cross preaching, they heard the gospel. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Watch what Peter says. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins,
and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
He was using the keys right there. Then again in Acts 10, when he got to Cornelius, he was the one who preached the gospel to the Gentiles. He would be the one that would do that. So Peter had the keys to the kingdom. He preached to the Jews first. Then he preached it to the Gentile. He opened it up with the gospel key. The gospel key is the key to the kingdom. So Jesus spent 40 days teaching them about the church of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
See, they thought he was going to have an earthly kingdom. They still wondering who going to take over. He said, no, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's king over his kingdom, which is the church. Now, let me just say something. So maybe you're visiting with us. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. Listen to the Bible in Acts chapter 2 and the verses number 47. In Acts 2, 47, listen what happened. They that gladly see the word were baptized by 3,000 souls. But in verse 47, it said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the church is the kingdom. There's but one kingdom. There's but one church, which means if you're not in the one church, you're not in the kingdom. But the Lord adds to the church such as should be saved. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you just got to take that up with the Lord. I can't. I was teaching a class in Mississippi, and I said, man, I read to him. He said, John 9:31 said, this we know, God here, not a sinner. I said, you see, do you believe? See, God here, not a sinner. He said, I know what it says, but I just don't believe that. I closed my Bible up. And I said, I can't help you. When a man flat out say he don't believe what's in the Bible, I couldn't help him. He's a paraplegic in his wheelchair. His evidence of God was based on him seeing God in a white in a dream. He seen someone in a white thing standing at the end of his bed. Well, if dreams is where you get the information from, we don't need this. Amen. You know, so if anybody just flat out say, I see that, but I don't believe it, you close your Bible because you can't help them. I try to say, let me help you understand why you should believe this book, man. That's why I don't need to teach you anything other than learning how to obey. Now, if you believe this book, you ain't going to have no problem with what I teach. But if you have a problem with what I teach, you're having a problem with this book. So really, the reality of it is when people have a problem with the Bible, all they got left is death. When you die, you'll find out if it's right or not. Amen. Wow. Amen. Go back to verse 21. Let's go and roll on that.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them.
Jesus, now, let's get back to this. He said, here you go again. Now, here's where all these love statements come. Notice, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them.
He it is that loveth me.
There he said it again. And he that loveth me
shall be loved of my Father.
So you can't have one without the other. Read.
And I will love him.
I will love him.
And will manifest myself to him.
So those who love the Lord are going to obey him and keep his commandments. And if you love Jesus, you will love the Father. If Jesus loves you, the Father will love you. But here's the thing about it. It's a decision is given to you. The decision is given every man, woman, boy, girl. See, we can be faithful if we want to. We can obey him if we want to. We have a free will. Amen. Verse 22. Let's go to Judas.
Say unto him, not Iscariot.
Now, this
Lord
is not the Judas that's going to betray him. I mean, John made that real clear. I'm glad of that. He said, Lord, how is it that you
will manifest thyself unto
make
us?
How are you going to make known to us and not make thou will manifest thyself to us
and not unto the world?
How are you going to make it known to us and not to the world? Listen to you. Here come the answer.
Jesus answered and said unto him,
If a man love me, now that love is again. If a man love me, he will
keep
do what?
My words.
His words will be the same as commands. Anything he said, do, that's a command. And he said, there it is again. And my father will love
him
and we will come unto him.
And
we make our abode with
him.
Now the three became one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I told y'all about that last week. How the three. How can you have three gods in one? Amen. The Father, the God the Father. We got God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Now note this. There's no such thing as Trinity in the scripture. The Bible never refers to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as Trinity. That's Catholicism. That didn't come from the scripture. The scripture called it the Godhead.
Amen.
It's called it the Godhead. And these three bear record in heaven that they three are one God. So you can't have God without Jesus. You can't have Jesus without God. You can't have the Holy Spirit without Jesus. You can't have the Holy Spirit without God. They all come together like ice. You got a solid, you got a liquid, and a vapor. One piece of ice. You got shell, you got yolk, and you got white. One egg. Closer you're going to get to understanding God. Understand egg. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Y'all going to be all right, ain't you? I just gave you a little simple illustration so you know what three in one means. Let's go back to the Bible. I don't want to get to the point I really want to nail here. And he said, "No.
He that loveth me.
He that loveth me.
Not keepeth not my saying."
Now he goes, the people who loveth me not. These people don't love me. What people don't love me? Ones who don't keep my words. They don't keep my sayings. And the word which you hear
is not mine.
It's not mine,
but the Father's which sent me.
So Jesus said, what I'm saying, he said, my words and his words come from God. I'm not just saying this. And so Jesus, to know Jesus, you got to obey him. And then there were some people who thought they knew him. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, these were believers. These are not Muslims. These are not Buddhists. These are believers in Jesus as their Lord. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Notice he said, not everyone that called me Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Muslims are not going to call him Lord. These are not Muslims standing there shocked. Notice who this is going to be. These are believers in Jesus. And then he says, many will say unto me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Verse 22, in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. That's what he said, didn't he? Then verse number 23, he said,
I never knew you.
He never knew him. That's what he's saying here. You can't know the Lord until you obey him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7, to you who are rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven and in flaming fire, taking vengeance with the mighty angels on flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God. And obey not the gospel. In other words, you got to obey the gospel. Obeying the gospel means a death, burial, and resurrection and baptism. Romans 6:3. When you get baptized, that's the only time you can come to know the God, because you receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the clearly saying, he's saying, anyone who do not keep my words do not love me. So do you love the Lord? A few. Verse 25.
These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you.
Keep reading.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost.
Now he identifies the Comforter. Now he said, now I'm telling you this while I'm with you. But there's a Comforter coming, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name.
He shall teach you all things.
You know what he said? He's going to teach you all things. And now he's talking to the apostles here. He's going to teach you all things.
And bring all things to your remembrance.
Bring all things back to your remembrance.
Whatsoever I have
said
to you.
Whatever I said to you. Now, so the Comforter, he's identifying here as the one that will bring these apostles information. The apostles would be guided by
the Holy Spirit, these apostles would write the New Testament. Now, at the time Jesus was speaking, there was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans. It wasn't there. There was no New Testament. They would have to write the New Testament after Jesus' departure. So how are they going to precisely write the words of Jesus without the help of the Holy Spirit? In John 16, 13, Jesus said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he would guide them into all truth." So he's saying, everything you're going to write, everything John wrote, everything Paul wrote, everything Peter wrote, it was not from the mind of Peter. It was not from the mind of Paul. It was from the mind of God, because they were guided by the Holy Spirit. Get 2 Peter chapter 1, and the verse is number 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse, go to verse 18 and start there. Verse 19. 2 Peter 1, 19. Listen to
that. We have also a more sure word of prophecy.
Now listen to Peter. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy.
Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed.
You do well, you take heed.
As unto a light that's shining in a dark place.
Right, read.
Until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart.
Right, read.
Knowing this first.
Know this first.
That no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Is of any private interpretation. Somebody say, well, that's Paul. He once said women can't preach because he's a male chauvinist. No, no, Paul didn't say it on his own. The Holy Spirit guided him to write. That's why women ought to be silent in the church, amen, and it's not permitted unto them. In other words, God don't want women up fighting the wolf. The wolf is the devil. God put his men. He picked 12 women, 12 men to go preach the gospel, and not one female did he preach. Did he pick? Man, he picked the devil before he picked a woman. Judas. You know what? He don't want our women out front. He don't want them walking around calling themselves pastor with a squeaky voice. I mean, you lying to me. And so, well, Brother Brooks don't like women. No, no, no. Women need to do what the Bible says. Get 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think it is chapter 2. And let me, verse 12. Let's get that right quick. Let me just go on, throw it in here since I'm there. This is the Bible now.
For the which cause I also suffer these things. Uh-huh. Nevertheless, uh-huh. I am not ashamed.
No, 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 no. That's not what I want. 1 Timothy. Thank you, Brooks. Chapter 2, verse 11. Listen to what the book says. Let the woman
learn in silence.
Learn how?
In silence.
With all
subjection.
But I suffer.
Not a woman to teach.
Nor do you usurp the authority of the man. But to be in silence. That's come from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And the verse of 33. Get that for me. 33 and 34. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. That's why these women need to sit down, putting robes on, stand up trying to preach and talk about the women liberation. God never liberated you to fight with the wolf, just like the women at home. My wife is not liberated to lead that house. I'm the man. Amen. I'm the husband of the wife. Amen, somebody. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, and he's the savior of the body. Husband, love your wife. We are the saviors of our wives. You think I'm going to let somebody come in there and get Sharon? You better believe I'm not. I'll die saving her life. That's what God wants. He never wanted her saving herself. Amen. Amen. And every woman who want to be liberated, you don't even want what God gave you. And then what he gave you was the blessing of a man with muscles. Amen, somebody. You ain't built to fight no wolf. Just like men ain't built to be women. That's why they can't. They walk funny. They look funny when they trying to be sissy. They walk funny, look funny, hold their hands funny and everything. Because you ain't made to look like that, bro. Be a man. Amen. And that take medicine to make their voice go soft again. And women trying to take medicine to make their voice go deeper and grow hair. If you were made to be a man, you wouldn't have to take no pills. Ain't that right, sister? Y'all, now I know people don't like this here because they think is that we're being feminist or male chauvinist or whatever. No, I'm saying God put the order in place. God, Christ, man, woman. God gave his son died for the church, and man is to protect his wife. And they ain't to be preaching.
1 Corinthians 14, 33. Listen to me now. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace.
As in all churches,
as in all
of the
churches of the saints. Read.
Let your women keep silent.
Keep silent in the churches.
For it is not permitted permission. To them to speak.
God didn't give you permission to be preaching. Amen. That's why they can't preach. Yeah. I went ahead on an elder since I went there. I mean, yeah. So what your point is? The point is that the Bible, God gave apostles, he gave prophets. And those prophets were guided to write the scripture. All scripture is inspired by God, not by the man. Paul is not an inspired writer. Inspiration is the word. It comes from God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, he says that all scripture is given by the inspiration or God's breath. The Holy Spirit guided these men to write all truth. That's the point. So Old Testament and New Testament validated that they are from the word of God because the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That make sense? Let's go on and I can get it closed. Verse 27. Go back to verse 27. I got off on them women preachers, but they need to get their head cut. They're misleading people to believe that they're supposed to be doing this. Is God called them? God didn't call you. Call you to go home and have children, take care of your children. That's what you're supposed to be doing. He called you to preach. Verse 27.
Peace I leave with you.
My peace I give unto you.
Not as the world give it, give I unto you.
Let not your heart
be troubled. Neither let it be afraid.
See, Jesus said, well, the peace I give, the world can't get. Now, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, listen to Paul. Paul is saying it like this. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. Watch what he says.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding.
See, the world can't have the peace that Christians have. The world can't have the peace that we have because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And when you got the Holy Spirit, you can go through some storms. That's what I'm talking about this afternoon. You can have some trauma in your life and still be all right. You don't have to have PTSD. You don't have to be traumatized by your past. You can move on with your life. But when you are not at peace with God, when you're not in a peaceful relationship with him, which means when your soul is at stake or you're on your deathbed or things are not going, you're gonna be a shamble, man. You're gonna be torn apart because you're not at peace with the Lord. Verse 28. John 14:28, as I hasten to a close here. He said, now you heard how I said unto you,
I go my way and come again unto you.
If you love me, there he is again. See, how many times do we have to say it, y'all? He said, if you love me,
you will rejoice.
You will rejoice. He said, now, if you love me, you know what he's telling them? I told y'all, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to come again. So why would they still be troubled if they believed him? So he's saying, if you believe you love me, you would rejoice because I said.
In other words, you would
be rejoicing that I'm leaving because I said I was coming back. So you got to believe what he said. Then he says, here's the last part, a point you need to understand. He said, I go to my Father, and my father
is greater than I.
Now, last line of ministry, the Jehovah's Witness will take this and teach false doctrine. That religious organization are causing many people to be anti-Christ. Anti-Christ. So they will say, see here. Jehovah is greater than Jesus. That's what they're going to take this one verse, which means you're taking it out of context. They're going to take this one verse. So in what sense is Jesus meaning he's greater than him? Listen to this. Now listen, slow it down just a little bit. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of God and also as the Son of Man. Get 2 Corinthians chapter 5 now in the verse number 21. So he referred to himself as the Son of Man and the Son of God. In other words, he was divine and he was human. He had flesh and he had spirit. He was God in the flesh. And so this, his death, he would become sin. Listen, here comes some good teaching right here. This is doc, this is meat. He will become sin on the cross. Listen, Bible.
For he had made him to be sin for us.
He made him to be sin for us. That's the human side. He knew no sin.
That we might be made the righteousness of God
in him. That we could become righteous. So his human side died on the cross. The Son of Man died. God didn't die. The Son of Man died. That's why he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken him? He abandoned him. He left the flesh hanging on the cross. It was the Son of Man hanging on the cross. He left him. He was without God. That's why when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in so much terror, and it would be the only time that he would be separated from his Father. He had to separate. Get Hebrews chapter 5 and the verses number 7. Listen to the Bible. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. When he was in the garden, he had strong tears and crying. Listen to him. Listen to him.
Who in the days of his flesh.
The days of his what?
Flesh.
Flesh. In the days of his flesh. When he was the Son of Man in the flesh in the garden. Read.
When he had offered up prayers and supplications. Strong crying.
This is why he sweated blood in the garden. The horror for Jesus was the fact that I'm getting ready to be separated from my Father. And then he says,
strong crying and tears of him that
crying,
was able
was
to
crying,
save him
was strong
from death.
Crying tears in the Garden of Gethsemane.
And was heard in that he feared.
Yeah, and then in verse 8 he said, but though he was a son,
yet learned obedience.
It was in the garden that Jesus would obey the will of his Father like mankind must do.
By the things which
we must obey the will of God in order to be saved. Jesus said, let this cup pass, not my will, but your will be done. He did it 3 times, and he decided to obey God. And to obey God, God's will was for his fleshly man, the Son of Man, to die for the sins of the world. Now go back to now Hebrew writer, Hebrews chapter 2. Let me prove this because I'm going to show y'all how he was made lower than even angels. Angels don't die to physical death. Hebrews chapter 2 and the Son of Man. Notice what he says for verse 5. For unto the angels had he not put in
subjection
the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place
testified, saying,
what is man?
What is man that thou art mindful of him?
Or thou Son of Man that thou visit him. No, the Son of Man. There it is again. You visit him. Thou madest him
a little lower than the angels.
When he came to the cross, when he was on the cross, he was lower than the angels. This is what he meant by my Father is greater. In the state of in the human side, his fleshly side, the Father was in the state of a spirit. Jesus was in the state of a human being. And so he said, even angels never became in the state of a human being. They were spirits. Amen, somebody. Listen to it. He said they were made a little lower than an angel.
Thou crowned him with glory and honor. And didn't set him over the works of thy hands.
That have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all
in subjection under him.
He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Now, verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made. Go to John 1:40. Stop right there. Go to John 1:40. Hold your finger there. Go to John 1:40. What I'm doing is I'm whooping the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't know the Bible. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? They got the New World's Translation. That's false doctrine. They make Jesus is a big G in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. Verse 14. Now listen to what he said. That's a big G. In their Bible, it's a little G. Because Charles Taz Russell and those Watchtower Society people rewrote this book. It's called the New World's Translation. Don't read it. Don't let them in your house. Don't bid them. Godspeed. It's on Facebook Live. The Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right.
Amen.
Listen, don't let them be Antichrist when you lower him down to a little G. He was God. Listen to the book, verse number 14.
And the word was made
and
flesh.
And the word was made flesh.
And he dwelt
was made,
among now, us.
He was made what?
Flesh.
Flesh. Only flesh can die the physical. That's why he was made flesh. So he could die on the cross. If he'd have stayed God, he couldn't have died on the cross. God can't die. Listen to the book now. And listen to it, but go back to Hebrews. I'm just showing how he was made. He was made, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than angels. Why? For the suffering. Go back to verse number 9. Stay with me this morning, bro. I know I'm loading you up, but you might need to get you a book.
But we see Jesus.
That thing running slow this morning, ain't it? That's my friend. We see Jesus who was made
lower than the angels for the suffering of death.
Well, when was he made lower than angels? When he was made flesh, John 1:14. This is good preaching, y'all. And why was he made flesh? For the suffering of death. Now, only the Son of Man, the human side of Jesus, would die on the physical death on the cross. And get this for me. Go over there in Acts 2 and verse number 22. Got to have this part to go with it. Because notice, he's not going to get himself up. Because God don't need to get God up. This is what he said.
Ye men of Israel.
You men of Israel.
Hear these words.
Hear these words.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth.
A man approved of God among you.
I know who he said he was. A man. Approved of God among you. Did he not say a man? Yeah, he was called the Son of Man. A man proved of God among you. Read.
By miracles and wonders and signs.
And wonders and signs.
Which God did by him. God did by him
in the midst of you. Read.
As you yourself
also know. Peter's preaching. Read.
Him. Delivered by the determinate counsel.
And the foreknowledge of God.
He have taken him.
You took that man.
And by wicked hands.
And
crucified and slain.
You killed him. You crucified that man.
Whom God read. Had raised up.
Now, that man whom God. Who got him up?
God.
That whom God had raised up.
Having loosed the pains of death.
Notice that. You don't loose the pains of physical death from God. It was the man, the Son of Man, that was buried in the tomb. Amen. And God loosed the physical death of pain. He resurrected, sitting on top of the tomb, sitting in the tomb. They went to the tomb looking for him. They said, he's not here. Who got him up?
God.
Thank you. The greater was God the Father because Jesus went into the flesh. And so for the Jehovah's Witnesses and for those who are influenced by them, you better understand that anyone who's anti-Christ will not go to heaven. And some of you are looking at me like, man, brother, be careful. Now, that's why I'm the preacher and you sitting. You can't be scared. You can't be scared to do what I do. You gotta be bold. You gotta know your Bible. Now I just tell them if they don't know the Bible, best not to come my way. I'm gonna use a sword on you. I'm gonna use the Word of God and cut it. The Word of God cut. As Brother Keeper said, going and coming. It'll go cut you. It'll catch you this way. It'll catch you that way. The Word of God is part. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Am I finished, in John? I got to stop. Y'all get that part? Who died on the cross? The Son of, Who got him up? Who's the greater? Don't let the Jehovah's Witnesses put him. No. He was in the beginning, y'all. Genesis 1:1. He made us. Let us make man in our own image. Jesus was there, but he was God. He wasn't Jesus. He was God in the beginning. There was no Jesus in the Old Testament. He was God. He was our Lord. Once he came through Virgin Mary, that's when he became the only begotten Son. Became flesh and God. And they said, he's Emmanuel. His name was Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That's in your Bible. What's the last verse say? That's the last one I got.
Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you.
Yeah.
If ye love me, ye will rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father.
Read.
For my Father is greater than I.
Okay, read on.
And now I have told you before it come to pass that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Mm-hmm. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and had nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do.
The prince of the world is coming on the scene through Judas. He going to give him the kiss of death, and they'll go from there to the cross. That's all he's saying. But I'm going to come back. You're going to believe once you see me ascending in heaven. So they will believe after he resurrected and his ascension. His apostles will get it. They didn't get it until Acts chapter 1. And then he told them, I'm going to send you a Holy Spirit, and he's going to give you all remembrance of everything I've said to you. It was in Acts 1 when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and these men then would write the New Testament. But it took Judas to kiss him. And Judas got him arrested. It was Judas that the mob understood who the man was. They took him, beat him with a whip, put a crown of thorns on his head, led him up a hill called Calvary. Some tongues they call it Golgotha, the place of the skull. It was there at the cross where he would hang for those who would love him. He would hang there for 6 hours. He would shed blood. He would be suffering the death because he was made lower than the angels so he could suffer and feel what we feel. He felt the pain. He felt the whipping. He felt the nails in his hands and his feet like we did. But he was able to do what God could do and still forgive his enemy. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that was God and man hanging on the cross. But once he became the Son of Man in the death, God left him. Because he became sin for us. They pierced him in the side out, came blood and water. They buried him in a borrowed tomb, and he resurrected. And I'm going to tell y'all something. It's because he lived that we can have tomorrow. It's because he lived, because he got up, that we can have eternal life. We can be saved. You got to believe this book. You got to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you love the Lord, you'll do what he told you. In Mark 16:15, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You want to be saved today. You heard that gospel. I've been preaching the gospel all through this sermon. It's cross preaching, this gospel preaching. You must believe Hebrews 11:6. You must repent, Luke 13:3. You got to say, I can't leave here, not a Christian. I can't leave here, not a member of the Church of Christ. I love the Lord. Then he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Be baptized for the remission of your sin. The Lord will add you to the Church of Christ. Amen. And there you live faithful unto death. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. Only a few going to find it. It's a straight and narrow way. Got to go straight and narrowly focused on what the Lord said do. Amen. One of the things you got to do before you get baptized is confess you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And once you do that, we will baptize you this morning. You step in that water believing blood is in there. Because not because the Bible said it, not because you're going to see any blood. You don't believe in Jesus because you saw him. You believe him because of this book. That amazes me. Intelligent people say they believe in this book, but they don't believe in the church. How are you going to believe in this book? And when the book says one church, you say you can believe Jesus, but you can't believe in one church. You're too intelligent. So smart. Amen. I almost said it. Yeah, I thunk it. Here's what I want to do today. How many of y'all love the Lord? Amen. I want you to do this for me. Those who love the Lord, they've never been baptized, I want you to obey him this morning. Come to the Lord this morning. We're going to baptize you. We're going to ask you, do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? We're going to baptize you this morning. God, you're going to believe. You believe his word, and it's found in Mark 16:15. I want those who baptized before in a denominational church, that baptism doesn't count. But the Bible said, by one spirit are we all baptized into one church. 1 Corinthians 12:13. And then I want those who need prayer to come. I want those who going through something to come. I need those who are members of the church. If you love him, confess your fault. When you fall, you get up and you make a confession, and God said he'll forgive. He's just forgiving. I know I went a little longer today, but that stuff at the end about the Jehovah's Witness, I had to whoop him. And that's just my job. That's my job, to stand, defend the truth, y'all. People are being lost through these kind of teaching, and we have to stand up. Somebody has to do it. And God is to make known his manifold wisdom by the church. And that's my job. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, here's what I want you to do. I'm exhorting you to come to the Lord if you love him. He said, if you love me, you'd come. How many of y'all are going to come this morning? We got a song of encouragement. And the song is, because he lived, y'all, we can face tomorrow. I know tomorrow we ain't promised to us, but we have hope because Jesus is living. Because he's our life, and we can have eternal life in our future. We just obey him. Won't you do it as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.